Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
This is James, and I'm sitting here on the phone with Justin Martin. He's going to introduce himself in a minute, but Justin is a church planner in Portland, Oregon. I've met him through his father that's a pastor here in Lamar County, Alabama. And we've had a lot of technical difficulties recording this episode, but I guess that's just part of it when you do stuff like this. So Justin, I appreciate you working with me and us trying to get this fixed up right. But how's everything going?
It's great, James. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Awesome, man. Well, if you would, just take a minute and just tell the guests about you, your family, maybe your educational training, where your ministry experience, and then what you're doing now.
Great. Yeah, my wife, Chandra, and I, we met while we were students at the University of Mobile. We're coming up on 15 years of marriage this December, and we have four kids, ages 12, 10, 8, and 4, three girls, one boy. And after my wife and I finished our studies at the University of Mobile, we went north to Wake Forest, North Carolina, to study at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. After our time of study there, we spent a year with International Mission Board in South Asia. And that was a very formative, shaping year in our lives and in our ministries. After that year, we spent a little over 3 years serving Emmanuel Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And they are our sending church. They sent us out in May 2014 to plant Bridge City Church in Portland, Oregon.
I don't think you said it on this recording, but I know you did on the previous one. Yeah, one time y'all were in Asia?
Yes, we served for 1 year in South Asia. It was our joy to serve and to learn, to grow, have an opportunity to encourage, equip, and train pastors for the work of the ministry. And after that year, we learned much more than what we trained.
That's awesome, man. Well, as we get into it, first thing I wanted to ask you is the question I ask everyone that comes on here, and that is, how would you define an everyday minister?
I would define an everyday minister as one who finds his identity in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, a man who is growing in his faith and in his obedience, a man who loves both God and his people, who shepherds and cares and sacrifices for them, and a man whose life is oriented around the mission of Jesus. And so these elements of faith and family and mission are in every way and every day shaping influences in his life.
I've said this, and I know the listeners are probably tired of hearing it. I love this question because I've had about 12 people, if not more than that, I've asked that question to now, and everyone's answer is different. And I think yours is spot on, that it's, that individual that has centered their life around Christ. But let's get on the topic this month. As everyone has probably noticed already, is we're discussing church planning. I wanted to get you on here. We had the opportunity to meet, and I heard you preaching, and I heard you talking about your church plant. And so I thought it would be awesome to get you on here. So if you would, let's start off by just talking about how you ended up church planting first and foremost, but also why Portland, Oregon? Because you grew up in South Alabama, correct?
Correct.
So how did you end up there?
There's a missionary quote by John Falconer that captures what my wife and I believe to be the essence of our calling. He said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in the land of the darkness and in a land flooded with light." It was our thought, our understanding, that our candle of life would be burned out in South Asia. But in God's providence, he redirected, and we ended up serving for a season for a little over 3 years in West Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And as fruitful as that ministry was in our lives and in the church, we never could escape that calling of having our candle of life burned out in a land filled with darkness. So as our church moved forward with a vision and church planting, it became clear that the way God was at work in our lives. And after our pastor and church affirmed that and blessed that, we began the process then of church planting. And my wife's family is all from Northwest Washington. So we always loved and enjoyed coming out and visiting in the Northwest. And so as we moved forward with plans to church plant, we were looking for areas of our country that were underserved with the gospel in the Northwest. It's one of those areas, you know, the place that long before church planting was on our hearts and minds. I had cultivated a love for it in our hearts. And so it became natural for us to focus in on the area of the Northwest. As we tried to narrow down from a region to a city, living on the border for us, we did want to be in a city. We wanted to be in a place where people are moving, and all the stats are showing how worldwide it's this global transition of people into the cities. And so we wanted to be where the people are, where the people are moving. And so that narrowed us down largely to Portland or Seattle. And so we looked at both of those places. We love the fact that Portland has a few Christian colleges, theological institutions, and that was important for us because our hope as a church plant is to be able to welcome in, train, equip, and send out men for gospel ministry. And so it felt like Portland would give us the opportunity to do that. And so kind of narrowing down from like this big vision of our calling, burning our lands out, our candles out in the land filled with darkness, all the way, you know, to selecting the city, that's how that process worked. And you know, God's grace was confirmation along the way, both from people in our church planting network, from our sending church, you know, an internal confirmation of the Spirit as we prayed, as we studied, as we spent time in the city. And so that's how we ended up here back in May of 2014.
So I know the church out in Tuscaloosa is the one that sent y'all out. And you said the network you're a part of. What network did y'all go through?
We're part of the SEND network, which is the North American Mission Board, which is an agency of the Southern Baptist Convention. So we're Baptist, and so our cooperation and affiliation is with the Southern Baptist Convention, with the SEND network, with the Northwest Baptist Convention, which makes up Oregon, Washington, and part of Idaho.
Now, I know everybody has different ways that they plant churches depending on their model and all of that. Briefly tell us about kind of where y'all are in the process of planting the church and kind of, you know, what are y'all doing now? Are you in small groups? Are you doing a worship service? Is it just tell us about it.
And we are in a weekly faith family gathering every Sunday, and we have two community groups that meet in North Portland on Thursday evenings. It took us a while to get to that point. Our first year was really about spending time in the city, making cultural acquisitions, learning the city rhythm, building friendships, connecting with other networks and organizations, serving in the city. It's really just given to learn. And in our second year is when we really began working to call people to something. And we started in our home with a weekly Bible study, and we started with a once a month Sunday gathering, and those became good places for people to learn who we were, what we were about. And then back September of 2016, we launched a weekly family gatherings, and that's been really helpful for us as we gather every week to worship around the Word and have the Word be forming us as followers of Jesus. And we're seeing some growth in the lives of our people and in the life of our church.
Excited to hear that. Now, y'all's church is big on also helping plant other churches. I remember that specifically when I heard you speak and preach that Sunday evening. So just tell us a little bit about how y'all are already able to help in those areas.
We wanted to establish from the beginning in our church's DNA, in the DNA of Bridge City Church, participation in God's global plan of redemption. And so though we were limited in size and we're limited in resources, we were looking for pathways that we may join God in what he's doing. And one of those ways was through contacts that we had from our time in South Asia. We were able to partner with a local church in South Asia. And so it's been really good for us as we've been able to take two trips over and partner with them as they're looking to train and raise up more leaders and pastors to send out to plant churches. And that's been a joy for us to be a part of. And we never could have imagined those years ago when we returned back to the U.S. that God would weave this church planting story together with our time in South Asia. And that's been a beautiful and incredible gift of God's kindness and grace to us. And then beyond that, locally, we're the sending church of Zomi Bethel Church, which is a church plant among Burmese refugees in Southeast Portland. And we're thankful for our foundational leadership who this church was getting started. They needed a partner church in the city, and they reached out to us, and it's been our joy to walk alongside them and encourage them. We gather for worship each year, and that's been a beautiful expression as both of our churches worship our Lord Jesus together in both English and the Zomi language. And we work together to do some other things like ESL and just healthy pastoral relationships. And so those have been some of the ways that we've been involved in church planting both locally and globally. And then God's grace over time, it's our prayer that we would raise up someone within our own church to plant here in Portland or to send off somewhere else in the Northwest.
I find it so amazing how, looking back on it, and you're the one that experienced all of this, so I imagine you do it pretty often. But looking back on just how God has just worked out all things to where, you know, y'all are still involved in missions in Asia, but you're planting the church, and just the connections that God has made through your life to be able to do these things, man. Now, I could be wrong, but if I had to guess, you correct me if I'm wrong here, okay? If I had to guess, church planning is not always the easiest thing, right?
No. Hardest thing we've ever done.
I understand that. I'm at a church where it's in small town Alabama, but the guy that was there before myself, he was the one that planted the church. So it's only been there 7 years, and just talking with him and then coming into it afterwards, I definitely know it wasn't easy for him. And so I know for you, I know it's probably been rewarding, but it's been difficult nonetheless, I'm sure. So what are some of those difficulties that you faced with planting the church, or some issues that you maybe want people to be praying for you about as they listen to this episode?
One of our initial challenges, or just maybe obstacles, was transitioning. Transition from life from the Southeast to the Northwest wasn't what we found to be so challenging, but transitioning from suburban life to urban life, we found to be challenging, to take time for learning and adjustment and growth. But we're thankful for the experiences that we have had toward that end. I think the greatest challenge, though, with church planting is we use this language all the time with our folks, is self-determining autonomy. And it's another way of talking about idolatry. We say that self-determining autonomy is attempting to write one story apart from the author of life. And the truth is that that idolatry, that autonomy is present in all of our hearts. We inherited that from our first parents with their fall in the garden. But there are still places of our country, particularly in the Southeast, where that self-determining autonomy is still in some ways in check because there are moral guardrails due to a strong Christian influence or at least a strong Christian heritage. And in the Northwest, those guardrails are much wider or in many cases just non-existent. And so the infection of self-determining autonomy has a strong shaping influence on the lives of unbelievers. It does. But on the lives of many professing believers. And so that creates a number of challenges as you're trying to call people to a commitment to Jesus, as you're trying to call people to a commitment to a faith family, you know, where the expression of our faith takes place, where we're being encouraged and equipped and empowered and sent out on mission. it's challenging to have people's lives oriented around the mission of Jesus, because that means we have to die to ourselves. That means I can't have autonomy over my own life. I have to enter into a glad submission to the Lordship of Jesus. And that has been by far the biggest challenge that we've experienced, both among unbelievers and professing believers.
You know, in America, that's what we teach our kids. You know, whatever you want to do, go and do it. You know, whatever you want, go and earn it. So we think we can live our lives for ourselves. And I know it's hard there. Like you said, here, there is some culture of Christianity still left embedded in the area here, but it's still hard. What's some good things that have come out of church planting in Portland? If maybe it's one or two things you want to mention, or if you want to sit here and talk about it, just all of the good things you've seen happen, what would you say some more?
Yeah, well, there are a number of good things. And in the midst of the hardship and difficulty and loneliness, sometimes isolation that we feel in church planting, God's work in and through the life of the planter is really an important thing that happens. So that's been one of the best things that's happened, is in the midst of hardship and disappointment, loneliness, that more of my own sin, more of my own weaknesses have been exposed, more of God's grace has become present, His faithfulness is more treasured. And so just believing and recognizing, experiencing the nearness of God in my personal life has been one of the best things that's happened in church planting. And so I'm thankful for God's grace and His work in my own life. Beyond that, I'm thankful to see the work that He's done in the lives of some of our folks. And so we have a handful of our people who are part of Bridge City Church, were coming from a de-churched background, meaning that they had some sort of connection with the church in the past, but had a season, perhaps an extended season of their life, where they'd been disconnected, disengaged from active participation and commitment to a local faith family. And so to see God draw some of His people back to Himself and to see them growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an incredibly rewarding and exciting experience. We had the privilege just last month of baptizing a recent high school graduate. That was really exciting. Last fall, we were able to baptize a young man who grew up really with no understanding of Jesus or the gospel or the scriptures. And to see him come to faith and to see his life transformed has been a really exciting experience. In fact, we paired up one of our young men with him to read the Bible. And they're reading through the Gospel of John. Every time they're reading a story about Jesus, it's his first time hearing it. And that's amazing. And it's exciting that God has, you know, been kind enough to extend this invitation for us to join him in his work here. And so while we've not been as fruitful as we maybe would have dreamed that we would have been up to this point, we are thankful for God's faithfulness, and we are thankful for the fruitfulness that is happening and that has happened in and among our people.
It just excites me as I sit here listening to you tell the story about that young man just reading through the Gospel of John for the first time. And you know, looking back on my life, I can't remember the first time I read anything in scripture. And I can just imagine how excited but also confusing and almost overwhelming it probably is for him. But how exciting is that he is taking that step and seeking after Christ after coming to salvation. And I love hearing about what God is doing in these different cities around the U.S. and so far, since I've started this podcast, I've talked with people in Milwaukee and in North and South Carolina, and now you in Portland. And so really excited about to hear what God is doing all over. I have one more question I just wanted to ask you, and then I want to give you a moment to say or add anything you want to add. But so there's a chance that somebody listening is seeking to be a church planter. And so I'll just curious of what advice you would give to them as someone that's been in it for 3 years now.
My advice would be to build a very, very good team, to have a team that's committed to Jesus and the gospel, committed to one another, committing to leveraging their lives on mission. It was never our intention to parachute in, come in alone. But that is basically the way that our story unfolded, and that's just the way that that worked out. But that would never be my recommendation to anybody. I would say that if you're able to build a team, if you're able even to recognize another pastor on your team, that there is so much wisdom in shared leadership. There's so much practical wisdom in having a healthy team that you're planting with. Recognize that also create some earlier challenges to church planting, and that you're pastoring your team even while you're trying to plant. But I would say the value of planting with a team far surpasses any challenge that may arise due to, you know, the immediate pastoring of your people into a new context. And I believe that you will go farther, and you will go longer, and you will go better together than you can on your own. And so that would be my strongest piece of advice to anybody who is seeking a church plant.
You know, Justin, I'm not sure what order I'm going to release all these podcasts in, so maybe I'm giving something away here. But I talked to two other gentlemen. One was with the church that did not last, and then the other one was the guy in over this planting in Alabama. And both of them gave the same advice, was don't go alone, and then minister to those they go with. And so, guys, if you're listening and you're looking at church planting, there you go. Three different very intelligent men of God told you not to. So that's the advice for church planting, I think, is what everybody's saying. Justin, is there anything you just want to tell us or say about church planting, about your current situation? Or it could be something totally unrelated. Anything you want to add before we get into the last question of the podcast?
Yeah, I think it's important to say that while we recognize that the Northwest is an underserved area of the gospel, that it's not a place that no one is found ministering the gospel. And so we want to recognize, we want to celebrate the decades of faithful service of God's people here in the Northwest, and say that even though we feel like we're doing a lot of field preparation in our context, we recognize that they're still being Christians in our context who for decades have been so faithfully sowing seeds, who have been removing obstacles, who have been fertilizing through their gospel witness with both their words and their actions. We want to recognize that, you know, in church planting, like, we're not the saviors coming into any particular community, but we recognize that God gives a growth. That's what Paul said. You know, I planted, Apollos water, but God gives a growth. And so even as there's any kind of measure of fruitfulness in our plant, we recognize that a big piece of that is that there are tons of people who won't ever end up with recognition, who have faithfully been serving our Lord Jesus with a life on mission in these contexts. And so, yeah, I just want to give thanks to them and recognize you know, those who have been here before us, even those who may have attempted to plant and didn't make it, their work is what we're building on. So we're thankful for that.
One way we always end the podcast is the plug of the week. And so, as we talked about before we got on here, is there anything, any plug you want to give? It can be a book, it could be a different podcast, it could be a movie, music, it could just be anything that you find encouraging to you right now, or it could be something on church planting. You got any for us?
Yeah, I would recommend two books. One, if you're interested in church planting, or if you're just interested in, you know, maybe growing as a minister of the gospel where you are, I would recommend Tim Keller's book, Center Church. It's a fantastic book to work through. And then for any aspiring church planter, I would say a lot of church planting books work on on missiology. But the two most important things, I think, are a robust ecclesiology and a strong character. So I'd encourage any church planter to be pursuing growth in those two particular areas, both in their understanding of the nature, the operation, function of the church, and then in their character as a man of God. People are always very interested in your competency and your accomplishments. But what matters vastly more than your competency is your character as a man of God. Are you a man who can say to others, follow my example as I'm following Jesus? So that would be my encouragement to pursue those ends. But Center Church is my book recommendation. The other is just free advice.
I love that advice. And for those out there that maybe you're not a church planter, you're just a pastor, or youth pastor, music guy, whatever you want to call your title, man, take both of those advices right there. Pursue missionology, but also character. Character matters for someone that's serving Christ in a vocation, or if you're just working a day-to-day job, your character matters, because we are all called to be missionaries of the gospel to those around us. The only recommendation I have is I recommended a book a few episodes back called The Disciple Making Is. For my class in seminary this semester, I'm having to read another book in their series called Evangelism Is. And it's by Dave Early and David Wheeler. And so far, I'm about 5-6 chapters in, which is only about a tenth of a way through. Really, really good book. I would encourage you to pick up the book and read it. And I'm sure I'll probably recommend it again on later podcasts as I get farther into it. But Justin, I've really enjoyed having you on the podcast. I've enjoyed listening to you tell us about church planting in Portland specifically. If you could, tell everybody if there's a way of getting in touch with you, if it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm not sure what all you use. And then also leave us with one thing that we can be praying for your church about.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, our church is on Facebook and Instagram, BCCPDX, or Bridge City Church PDX. And you can also find us online, our church website, with email and contact info is bccpdx.com, bridgecitychurchpdx.com. And one way that you can be praying for us is this fall, we are working as a church, really seeking to leverage both our individual and collective lives on mission, praying that God would make us fruitful. And to that end, one of the ways that we're going to be growing and being equipped is having a reading group through Tim Keller's book, The Reason for God. So pray for us as we learn to listen well to our friends and neighbors, and to winsomely give a defense for the gospel, to give the reason for our hope in Jesus. And so that would be a very important and practical way that you guys could be praying for us.
Well, I've really enjoyed it.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you, and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.